Who here would consider yourself to be a morning person? Who's a morning person? All right, everybody look at those hands. Look at those hands and figure out who we want to despise. How many are the farthest thing from a morning person? It's a lot more hands because that's a lot more normal people. We love mornings, like just sneaking in on the tail end of them about 11 o'clock, you know, just to kind of just see how they are, say hi. And I, you know, my mom and dad have said for years, you missed the best part of the day. And you know what? I agree with them. My body does not agree with them. Those times when you actually do wake up and, you know, or whatever, you know, maybe something woke you up and you decide you're just going to stay up. You can get more done from like 6:30 to 9 than you can from like 9:30 to midnight. I don't know what happens. It's amazing. It's a good thing I'm not an overachiever because I just sleep in. Like I could be getting lots done. I'm going to turn over. So, but here's kind of how, let me give you just a pretend for instance scenario that may or may not happen in all of our lives. So we wake up in the morning and maybe we're a little groggy, or maybe you're one of these morning people that do just bounce right out of bed. I'm not sure, but you're out of gas like that by 6 at night then. That is true. Gonna start a fight yet? So the scenario goes like this. You jump out of bed and first thing on your mind, you're like, oh, must have slept wrong. And so we're working kinks out of stuff. And you happen to look out the window and it's a little drizzly out. And so then you're kind of trying to process things. You're like, oh, I hope the sun shines or whatever. You're going to go get your Cheerios this morning and you go out and you eat your first bite. And it's kind of a little stale. You ever had stale Cheerios? Just a little stale, maybe. And you're like, oh, well, that's not really how I saw things going today. And like at our house the other day, Taylor comes running down, Dad, emergency. I'm like, oh, this could mean lots of things. What does this mean? You got to come here. So we went up and he had put his knee through the bathtub, which is not just a bathtub. It's a whole surround. And the door is no longer wide enough to fit the tub in because I built the bathroom with the tub in there and it's upstairs. And so his sister was not impressed with that because they share the bathroom upstairs. And so your day is just starting out and you're just processing and you're just going through and you don't even really know that you're processing, but trust me, you're processing. You're getting information. You're taking stuff in for the day. And this is just how I'm going to roll now. And something you're not even, because you're still groggy, right? Unless you're one of those morning people. Most of us are still a little groggy, right, Tony? Come on. I know it. And so you don't even realize it. I didn't hear that, but that's probably good. So you don't even realize it, but your mind has kind of wandered to that thing that my wife said last night before I went to bed, that I'm wondering what she really meant by that, or my friend or my coworker the other day. I just happened to just think about it today. I don't know. I wonder what they, do you know what I mean? And we're not even really realizing it, but we're just processing. Our emotions are now involved. We're still a little groggy. Our bodies are definitely involved because we're feeling tired, or Marnie and I planted trees yesterday. I did the hard part. I carried the little tree. Marnie dug the hole. It's a true story. So We have 100 trees altogether that we're planting, but 25 of them weren't in. So we planted 75 trees yesterday. You usually get a few more than 25 in each package. So probably about 80 trees. And that was 80 holes that Marnie dug through sod and fabric in some of the parts, but mostly virgin ground sod. And I said, you can do this, babe. I just crawled along behind her and stuck trees in. I'm really sore today. A sad state of affairs physically at our house. So I guess I need to work out a little bit. But so now we're worried about kinks in our body, or we're worried our emotions are involved with, you know, we might be getting a little perturbed by what someone said or did, or, you know, like, and so we've started our day on a snowball already. We've barely even gotten past our soggy Cheerios. And we're already kind of set for the day, aren't we? We're already set to have a bad day. We're already set. And now we all of a sudden, because our emotions are involved and we haven't been guarding our thoughts and we haven't been intentional about what we're doing and thinking and saying and feeling, things have just kind of been just not bad. They've just been running their natural course. Say natural. That is very natural. And all of us can relate in some aspect to this scenario because we've all done it. This is just, it's natural. It's human. It's what we do. We're in this fallen flesh that just has aches and pains and gets grumpy. And we have these emotions that flare up for no reason at all or whatever because, and we have a mind that wanders. And so if we're not intentional, if we're not careful, we're kind of really just set up. And now all of a sudden I'm really embracing two of my greatest friends, you know, fear and anxiety, because I've just let my body and my mind and my emotions just kind of do what they normally do. And so now we've got all these other things that like to come and just hang out with us, you know, anxiety and fear and worry and apprehension. And guess what my relationships look like when I have all those along? Well, listen, guys, we're already crowded here. I've already got a lot of friends. I don't really need you. So I'm just going to talk to you like I don't really need you in my life because I'm pretty busy with anxiety and fear and insecurities right now. So I'm going to talk to you like I don't need you. We don't mean to do that, but we do that. And so now I'm starting to recognize, because maybe 7 or 8 people have called me bad names and told me that I need to stop and recognize this, or maybe it's just the Holy Spirit telling my heart that I need to, whoa, hold on, wait, what are we doing here? And then I pray, or I get in the Word, but now it's out of desperation. Now I'm not spending time with God because I love Jesus and I just really want to bask in His presence and I want to see what God has to reveal for me today. Now I'm desperate. I'm playing the Jesus card. Help me. And the Jesus card is great and there's nothing wrong that God has helped every single one of us. Number one, by the cross when we couldn't, you know, so that's not bad, but that's not the best. Like He's always going to be the one that helps us. But I don't want my relationship with Jesus to be purely built from anxiety, desperation, and need and fear, and I need a rescue every single moment that I talk to you. I want my relationship with Jesus to be rich and full and filled with, hey God, how are you doing right now? Let's just hang out. Let's just talk. Let's just open the Word like Curtis does. It opens right to the right page every time because God's just upon him, you know? All right? We heard that earlier today. Just it opens up right there and have those times where we just enjoy his presence. Well, I can't have those times if I don't run the tape backwards. It'll be this way for you guys. Run the tape backwards and get to the beginning of my day or the middle of my day or when I let my... Maybe you're good for mornings, but by afternoon... You are not keeping track of your emotions. You're not keeping track of what's going on in your mind. Your body's starting to get tired because you're a morning person and you've already seized the day. And the devil really wreaks havoc with the end part of your day. We're all susceptible to this. And so we're doing this series called Lost and Found. And it's this idea where if we focus only on what we don't have, only the negative, only what we've lost, if our attention goes towards that all the time, not that we're blind to it, but if that's what we rehearse in our minds, if that's what we let dwell in our hearts, then we're going to be in for a bumpy ride in our lives, right? But if we rehearse what we do have in Christ, I have all these things. I have all these promises of God. I have all these words from Him. I have all these blessings. I have all these, you know, and just it's list after list after list of incredible things that God has given you and God has given me. Now, if I rehearse those in my life, and we said either last time or the time before, we've got to turn our expression into possession. We need to own these things. We don't need to just know about them. We need to make them, like Josh said today, like he got it, like it became now a part of him. Like, and we've all had those aha moments, and we'll talk about them a little bit later on today, but where we start owning these things. This isn't just, oh, I'm learning about Christianity and Christians are that. This is me. I am a new creation. I am found in Christ. I am forgiven. I have access to his spirit because he dwells within me. Christ is in me and I am in him. And we start rehearsing that when we get out of bed in the morning. And we don't ignore everything. I don't ignore that I've got a pain, but I'm intentional about it. I'm like, God, thank you for this great day. I got a little hips going out there. Just help. But I just want to walk with you and spend time with you. We're not going to focus on that anymore. God, you take care of that and whatever, whatever. And something pops in your head and you want to go into worry and anxiety. And you're like, oh, worry and anxiety, meet my real friend. Amen. Yeah? Yeah. You guys don't get to hang out with me today because this lunch date's already, it's full. Right? This card's already maxed out. So you guys can visit, but you just go do it somewhere else. And so when we're intentional about that, and that's what this whole entire series is, Lost and Found, and we're getting focusing on the found side of it now, and we're really excited about this series. This message today is called I see. 2 points from last time. This was one of our points from last time. God's truths. Say God's truths. God's truths. Where do we find God's truths at? In his word. Absolutely. They're more than intellectual facts. Okay? God didn't write the Bible so that we could be smarter. We want to love the Lord God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So mind is in there. We do want to get smarter. Don't go home and say, preacher didn't want me to get smarter. Because I do. But that's not the only intention of the Word of God. And it's not even the primary intention of the Word of God. But they have power to transform lives. This was our point from last time. It's these truths that God breathed. You see, God started this all creation and he said, light be. Let there be light. And guess what happened? Light was. Exactly. Light was. Let there be dry ground. Let the waters separate. Let the birds be filled with, you know, all that stuff. God spoke it. And that same creative power, that same supernatural power is still in God's word. That word that he has spoken and is still speaking. You see, God still speaks to our hearts. He confirms things in us. He gives us a witness in our spirit because the Holy Spirit's in us. And we always need to judge that against the word of God. But at the same time, God can speak to us in a variety of different ways. And so God's truths, they're more than just for our brain. We've got a lot of people, the Pharisees, they always get picked on. I mean, every message, someone's picking on the Pharisees, and probably rightly so. But they had lots of head knowledge. They knew a lot about God. And it's really easy for us to be Pharisees today. Well, I don't wear those kind of clothes, and I don't have the things hanging. I don't go to a Jewish temple. But we can be just as much a Pharisee. I know a lot about God, but I don't have it in my heart. I'm not even saying that I'm not going to heaven. I've given my heart to Jesus. But then I really stepped really quickly into, I just want to know stuff about God. And we don't ever really like say that, but we just, instead of living this out from my life and letting God transform me from the inside out and really becoming a disciple of Christ and falling in love with Jesus because I love him, I learn what to say and what to do and what not to do. And those commandments are legit. They're real. That's God reveals to us what is sin and what's not. And we need to follow that. But if that only becomes just a set of rules, then we become lifeless rule followers. Amen. And we forget that there's truths in his word that are more than just a right and wrong list. Because I can tell you what, my wife never came up to me and said, all right, here's a list of things. I don't want you to leave tonight and not come back for 4 days without calling. She never told me that. I deduced that from my own knowledge of my relationship with her. She never said, I would like you to go out and meet some girls because you need some excitement in your life. I deduced that pretty quickly because I've made a commitment to love and honor and cherish her, right? And I've made a commitment to Christ to love and honor and cherish him. So while I need this list of do's and don'ts from the Word of God, just to clarify, just to know, I want to follow those because I love him. I mean, my goodness, he's the love of my life. Why, like, he's what I need. So this is from last time. They have power to transform lives. Here's the other little nugget from last time. I don't think this was even, this wasn't even, yeah, I got yelled at because this wasn't a slide. This was just a random comment. You can't achieve spiritual progress using purely or only natural means and processes. So just by using our mind and just by using our emotions, like figuring out how to have better, those are good tools, but we can't get all of the spiritual progress in our life. We can't grow in Christ only just with natural means. We can grow some with natural means, absolutely. But we need spiritual means. We need supernatural input and revelation. Which brings us to our next point. This is the first point from today. God has blessed us with every supernatural. I know I'm making you say lots of things this morning, but say supernatural. Supernatural. What does that mean? It's like Superman? What is super? That's a word that we use in church. What does it mean? Supernatural. More than natural, greater than natural. Curtis talked about it this morning, you know, from the greatest to the smallest, you know, smaller than atoms. There's, you know, there's the parts, there's, you know, the protons and neutrons and, you know, all those parts of the atom. But there's also even parts that make up those. There's quarks and neutrinos. It's pretty crazy when you get down at the quantum level. It's just, stuff is just really just whack. Also, from the macro level to the largest stars, if we went through a chart of how big stuff really is, our minds can't even create a space to imagine how big stuff is, how far, how big this galaxy is, let alone the billions of galaxies. It's mind-boggling. But you know what? From the smallest to the biggest, all that stuff is still natural. The Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power, but that's still natural. That he's supernaturally doing it, but he's affecting the natural realm. So as miraculous as it is, as incredible as it is, all of the natural stuff is still natural. And we need supernatural. So it comes from a realm that's outside of this realm. Does that make sense? This is the natural realm, whether you're in space or you're on Jupiter or you're on Tagus 3 or whatever sci-fi planet that you particularly love, or whether you could shrink yourself down and you're floating around inside of an atom, you're still in the natural world. This is still natural. These are, God supernaturally created it, but now it's our realm. It's the natural realm. And so everything that we really need, that God wants to give to us, is supernatural. What am I talking about? How many of you have ever heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you ever heard the gifts of the Spirit? Words of wisdom, like supernatural infusion into our heart and spirit of something that's beyond what I could come up with in my mind. Words of knowledge, information that I have about you that I can't have unless I'm with the CIA. Or even better than that, because it's about your heart usually. It's about your past. It's about, like, and it's a word to set you free, to bring life, to bring hope and joy. What about compassion? What about humility? What about redemption? What about all the shuns? Redemption, sanctification, justification, all those things where I've been made right in God's eyes. That's not just a series of events of natural things. That's supernatural. And if I want to get access to the supernatural things, I need to do something different than what I'm doing for the natural things. You see, I can help myself quite a bit naturally. For instance, go into this. This has nothing to do with anybody. This is just a random thought. You go into a room and everyone's talking about religion and politics and you decide that you need to put your 2 cents in. Or you know that Uncle Louie is just got a hot button about some, you know, maybe it's abortion or maybe it's, who knows, maybe it's the president. I don't know. I can just shut my mouth and I can make things better, right? Correct? True story. Sometimes I need the supernatural blessing of self-control to shut my mouth. But in the natural, you can have some effect. We can. We can do relationships better. We can raise our kids better. We can, without Jesus, because people, there is wisdom in the world, and we can have some effect, but it's very limited, and it's very shallow, and it's very natural. Everything else that wants to bring us into the kingdom of God and see that flourish and expand and be incredible and see victory in not only in our lives, but in other people's lives, just because they're around us, just because we've got so much of the presence of God on our life that we're just intuitive, not because my brain's really good, but because my spirit is just sensing, oh, I should give them this book or this tape, or I should just talk to them about that, because we're just freedom bringers, because God's transforming our own lives. That, none of that's natural. That's all supernatural. Supernatural. The essence of it, the what it's made up of, it's not just a natural decision. Okay, I'm going to love you, and we do have to, it's a choice. But the love that stirs up in our heart and causes us to be self-sacrificial when we normally wouldn't be. The joy that comes in, and we're talking about fruits of the Spirit in the youth group, the joy that rises up, and over again in Scripture, you see joy in the same verse or two with trials, tribulations, and sufferings. Joy, sufferings. Joy, sufferings. Joy, trials. Joy, tough times. Right. You're like, wait a minute, I don't equate joy with suffering. But the Bible does, because it's not natural. It's supernatural. So when we run out of the capacity to access what I need naturally, which is in about 30 seconds, I mean, really, we can have some effect. But when we run out of that, then we need to access the supernatural, the things that are from heaven. They're from God. They're of God. They reside in heaven. They're otherworldly. I can't get there by bus or train or kayak. I need some other form of access to them. Everything that I need is there. How do I get that in my life? Let's read some verses. All praise to God. This is Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with one or two meager spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Is that correct? I don't think that was correct. Let's try it again. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, say it with me, every spiritual blessing. And where are they stored at? In the heavenly realms. They're of heaven, they're of that essence, they're of that nature. It's supernatural. The nature of them is beyond this realm. And we've been given all of them because we're united with Christ. That's the kingpin. That's the key. That's the access. That's how we get these things. We can't get them without Christ. He's the gatekeeper. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to the Father through me. Get what you need through me. So we're in him, he's in us. Next verse, 2 Peter 1:3. By his divine power, God has given us a few things we need for living a godly life. Or more accurately, we read it like it's written, God, by his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. And so often we forget that. We're just like, oh, if I just had faith like John, or if I just had patience like Frank, or if I could just love like Tammy could, boy, you know, but wait a minute. We're processing that naturally. And lost and found, we're focused on what I don't have. Oh, do you see where that went? We want to think that I could live this Christian life if I just had like so-and-so has, or oh, I want, and not that we shouldn't be inspired by those lives, because we are, and we do. But we immediately want to go to, I don't think I could ever be a man of God like so-and-so. I don't think I could ever have faith like so-and-so. I don't think I could ever walk through with endurance like so-and-so. Why do we want to process in a way that's in direct disagreement with the Word of God? We're sifting that through our mind and our emotions, and we're convincing ourselves that I can never do what the Word of God says that I could do. Because we're going to the wrong source. We're doing that naturally. And we're not taking those thoughts captive. We're not focusing on what we do have. We're focusing on what we don't have. And instead, we go back to the Word and we see, wait a minute. God has given me everything that I need for living a what kind of life? A godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. Again, who? Jesus. The one who called us to Himself by the means of His marvelous glory and excellence. So when we're in Christ, all of a sudden we have a storehouse of treasure. Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ, and He seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. He seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. So, there are so many days where I feel like, okay, God is amazing. He's got all kinds of cool stuff. Heavenly realms, great. I'm here on earth, okay? All my cool stuff is in the heavenly realms, but I'm stuck here with me being frumpy on a grumpus day because I can't get past my flesh, right? You guys are all amending me, right? Like about, okay. Because I would never say things like that about you. But I have those days where I'm like, I just don't get it. How am I supposed to be? And I get really caught up in focusing on what I don't have. And I rehearse that over and over again. I don't have enough love. I'm not a good enough dad. I'm a terrible husband. Just over and over. I can't do this. I don't have what it takes. And we just buy into those lies. And we're just like little kids. And we see a quarter on the floor. A little quarter that says, you don't have what it takes. And we're like, oh, look it. I have that. I don't have what it takes. And we keep that. And we make it ours. And God's saying, no, the treasures are in heaven. Let's just go through, this is the what we don't have, what we do have, kind of the lost and found. Let's just really quick run through a bunch of these in Ephesians here. Ephesians 1, we had read verse 3, this is the next verses. Even before He made the world, God loved us. Say, I'm loved.
I'm loved.
So these are things that we have, okay? These are truths. These are not nasty quarters that are laying on the floor that we're going to pick up and take as ours that are filled with lies. These are truths from God's Word that transform our lives, okay? When you read this, this is about you. God loved us and chose us. How many were always, don't raise your hands, because I'm raising my hand. How many were always the ones to get picked last when you're playing tag or something, or football? Oh, man. Don't have Kirk on your team. He runs like a girl. And that's a true statement. Chose us in Christ. We're chosen. You're chosen. He picked you to be holy and without fault in His eyes. You're like you said, heard that earlier this morning. We're without fault. We're debt free. God decided in advance to adopt us. We have a new family. Well, you just don't know. I'm Italian or I'm Polish. I can't do it because I'm, wait a minute, you got a new bloodline. You've been adopted into a new family now. The old stuff, hey, no more excuses because the new man is alive, rising, bringing us into Himself. We've been brought near. Listen to look at this last line. That's what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Well, I know God died for me. I know that. Oh, He must have been miserable and hated it because I'm a dirty rat. We all are dirty rats. I'm just saying, like, if we weren't dirty rats, we could do it on our own. So we need the cross. And you know what? He didn't do it grudgingly. It gave Him pleasure. It's a foreign thought, I'm just going to say, for some of us to think of God taking pleasure in me, in you, in your life, in what He gave for you. Here's a few more. So we praise God for the glorious grace He poured out on us, who belong to His dear Son. We belong. He's so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom. Say, I have freedom. He bought that for you. With the blood of His Son, He forgave our sins. We're forgiven. He showered us with His kindness, along with all wisdom and understanding. I just wanted to run through those because the way this series is going, we're just not going to get to a lot of them. I just wanted to do a shotgun approach because I can't seem to hardly get past the introduction. And went through and just showed you just like, and that's just a few verses. Now, granted, those were loaded. That's a good chunk of verses. When I first got saved, I spent so much time in Ephesians. Get in Ephesians once in a while. Just see who you are in Christ. It's incredible. It's so incredible. Here's our second thing. So all these things are in heaven. I've got all the blessings that I need. There's compassion for me. Whatever I'm lacking in. Okay, do this with me right now. Do not say it out loud. But whatever, think of the first thing that comes to mind when I say, what are you lacking in? What are you lacking in right now? For some of us, it might be patience. For some of us, it's self-control. Some of us, it's even financial. Some of us, it's perseverance. I just give up too easy. You know, some of us, it's I don't know, just fill in the blanks. There's 100 things that we could put in there. And we're like, all right, so I don't want to focus on this. I know that God has everything that I need, and he's promised. He's given that to me. I already have it because I've already been raised up and seated in the heavenly places. So somehow, I don't know how this works, but somehow I'm seated there, and I'm standing here. I'm seated there with all the stuff I need, and I'm also standing here. Some days I just love to be standing up there, you know, but we're still here. But I'm also seated there. With all of that stuff. How do I get that stuff? Well, here's the second point. It's very difficult for God to interact with our flesh. It's not that he cannot. People have heard God speak audibly, but I'm saying most of it is not physical. Most of what God does, he doesn't interact directly with our flesh, with our emotions, with our mind. Look at this. The mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God. In some of the versions, it says enmity. We're enemies. We've become enemies of God in our flesh. And we could go through 100 verses on how our spirit and our flesh, you know, they're at war with each other. Flesh often, what is what I want to do, how I feel about things, that's often in direct conflict with what God wants. Not always, because God's redeeming that, and so there's glimmers of hope. But God doesn't normally react with our flesh. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they did not belong to Christ. So if you belong to Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. So, well, yeah, we'll just, for time's sake, we'll just go right to our next point. We need a new way to see. We're going to go fast through some verses so we can actually make it out of here in time. But I just think this is phenomenal. So if God can't just react with me really easily because my flesh is at war with him often, right? I mean, how many times do you have to talk down your flesh because your flesh is like, I would love to pray 17 hours today, please. You're like, my flesh is like, no, I want another donut and I want to sleep in or or go to bed early. I don't know. That's what our flesh is doing. Our flesh sounds like a little two-year-old, right? Or don't you guys live in the flesh? Come on, leave me hanging up here. But we do. We want our way. And what causes fights and quarrels among you, James says. You want what you're coveting. Our flesh is really aggressive about telling us, informing us, hey, this is what I want. Right? All of our cravings, that's fleshly. Okay? God wants to redeem our cravings. I did a message on that one time. But we need a new way to see. Let's go through these verses. Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. So we're still in that chapter 1 of Ephesians. Man, this is some incredible stuff. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. Okay, so this is God's plan. Verse 10. Here's the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and everything on earth. Now, for you Bible scholars, now there's some implications about this that are different than what I'm telling you about, but I believe that what I'm saying is also included in what this is saying here. I believe God says, man, there's this incredible resource in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places, and here we are on earth. But in Christ, we can unite. We can bring together all of the treasures of heaven, the wisdom of God, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the comfort and the grace and the anointing, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the joy and the mercy and the self-control and the patience that we need that resides in heaven and now resides in us because of the Holy Spirit. But we need a bridge to get that to happen. And so for this reason, here's Paul. Paul is saying this. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. Okay, so Paul is praying for church people. Okay, let's get the setting here. Paul is saying, you came to Christ. Man, I'm so thankful for you. I thank God for you all the time, COC, and I do. I could be writing this. I'm so thankful ever since you came to Christ. I'm so thankful, and I thank God for you. Let's see what he says next. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father. Now, these are church people. These are people that have the Holy Spirit, right? Nod your head slightly. Okay. These are people that already have the Holy Spirit. And this is his prayer. I keep praying on and on and on and on and on and on, day after day after day after day after day, that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. That's his prayer for the church people, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, opened up. Not our physical eyes, but the eyes of our heart, in order that you might know, there's that word again, know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Here's where I think the bridge happens. I pray that he'd give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What is revelation? It's actually bringing something to light. It's that, aha. How many of you ever went to school? Did math, you did something. Math was horrible. Like, did you ever have one of those aha moments where you're like, 2 plus 7, I just don't get it. And just, it almost hurts your brain. And then somehow some teacher or some friend said it. And then you're like, oh, the light bulb comes on. That's our aha moment, our light bulb moment. And you're like, I get it. Like, I get it. I know how that works now. You know, for years I was trying to learn how to do web design. And I remember when I finally, I get it. Like, you have this aha moment. But that's in the natural. That's with our mind. I just want to tell you that in the spiritual, there's the same aha moment. It's called revelation. It's where the light bulb comes on. It feels a lot like the physical aha. Like, it just, it settles in. And like you got on the interstate on cruise control and you're like, okay, I can do this now. And we know that feeling mentally. You know, maybe you're trying to learn how to do whatever, cooking or whatever, just pick a thing. And like you struggle. And then one day you're just like, I get, that's why you turn the burner on before you put, okay. You know what I mean? Like, but that's mentally, and that's pretty shallow, and those are good things. But spiritually, we can have these aha moments. And that's what he's talking about, that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, that we'll see. Like, when you're reading through the scripture, and all of a sudden it jumps off the page, and you're like, oh, I never saw that before. That's what's happening. You're having an aha moment, but it's not in your mind, it's in your spirit. Or when you're praying and you're just minding your own business and you're praying with God and you're just connecting, and all of a sudden something jumps in your spirit. You've got this idea, or you just know that you need to pray for and go call. As soon as I'm done praying, I got to go call Jimmy. I just know it. How do you know it? You've had revelation in your spirit. Like, you've had this aha moment. You've had this connection with God that you didn't have. You didn't just get smarter. You got it revealed to you. But that takes something different than natural means. We have to look for it in a different place. We have to use different eyes. We have to have a new set of eyes to get what's in heaven for us. Because God carries it with him in his spirit, but we need that other connection. We need to be meditating on his word and focusing on his goodness and taking all these spiritual truths and not just saying, yeah, I know that. No, we need to consume them and let them become a part of us so that all of a sudden our heart goes, oh, I know that. Not just I know that, I know that. And then, because we said behavior follows beliefs. We got to get those beliefs in our spirit in the right place, that I'm not in lack. I have what I need to be this man of God or woman of God that he wants me to be. When the eyes of our heart get opened up, that's in the eyes of our heart. That's in our spirit. Then I can know. You see, that's how the heart bridges with the mind. That's how our brain gets involved now. And our heart starts telling our brain, our spirit, and the Spirit of God starts convincing our mind that this is a greater truth than the junk that's been up here. And if you just attack it from your mind, you can have a little bit of success thinking better thoughts. You can. But if you approach it from God's way and let the Word of God, let the presence of God, let time with Him, let just rehearsing the blessings of God in my life over and over and over again until it becomes a part of us and we go, oh, that's right, I am called, I am loved, I am chosen. And we don't have to struggle to try to prove it. It just becomes a part of who we are because it convinces our mind that that's really true. And that's how a supernatural God interacts with our natural mind. It comes through our spirit. Oh, wow. Let me just finish with this. One of the last things is hope. We've seen it there, that you might know the hope. Guys, we got to have hope in our life. Hope is a strong and confident expectation, or it's an eager expectation of good, that you might know the God of hope. See, when we get baptized into Christ, when we become in Him, He brings this entire wealth of hope. It is not wishful thinking. I hope I get a raise. I hope Johnny doesn't punch me in the head today. I hope my car starts. It's not blind optimism. It's not blind being, I don't see it. So they said they were going to foreclose on my house. It's all going to work out. It's all like just kind of pretending it doesn't exist, you know, and kind of ignoring it. That's not hope. And it's not hopeful dreams where you kind of set up your life where like, I'm going to be in the NBA. That's kind of my plan for after. Well, like, do you play ball? No. And you're not positioning your life to really go after any of those. It's just a dream of mine. Well, I hope I could be in the NBA and really get rich and take care of my mom and dad. And, you know, that's not hope. That's not biblical hope. So none of those things. There's kind of this pie in the sky, I hope it works out, or just ignoring things. It's none of that. Hope is heaven's optimism. It's truth from the heavenly realms that say you have all that you need, that your situation right now, what you are experiencing, is not the end of it. There are resources beyond what you can think of, what you can imagine, what you have access to right now, and it does not have to stay like this. And I've been reminding myself of that often lately, because I'll process through a situation and we want to have wisdom. And so we'll meet with leaders and we talk about different things and we'll get to the end and we're still not sure what to make. And I can get in anxiety really quick and say, well, I just don't have the answer. Stop. That's okay. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to say, I hope it works out, but I know I've got access now. I've got access to things that all right, let's get in God's word. Let's just spend time with Him. I'm going to lay this out before you, God, and I'm going to pray, not just a prayer out of desperation. I'm going to pray a prayer out of hope and expectancy. Hey, God, wow, this is going to be good. Man, I've got this thing. I have no idea what to do. So cool. What are you going to do? Tell me. I want to listen. Read through your word, and something jumps out. I'm like, that's right. I can do that because I have that now. I have access to that. And so when we live without hope, we only walk by natural senses, and we assess every day and every situation by what we have available right now. My intelligence, my smarts, my strength, my energy, my compassion, my kindness, everything that I have, that's how I assess this situation. And that's a pretty discouraging way to assess our situations, isn't it? But with hope, it says, that does not have to stay this way. Like God is able to intervene and blow the doors off of this thing. And so we hang on to something that's tangible. Last few verses. 2 Corinthians 4:16, we're done after these verses. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We're not discouraged. We don't get stuck, because outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Inside, in my spirit, my eyes of my heart, I'm having revelation and wisdom, and I'm getting stronger inside every single day. The next verse says, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an incomparably incomparable eternal weight of glory. The glory of God is just waiting to invade our lives. This last one. So we do not focus on what is seen. We don't take stock just in the natural realm, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we can get all caught up in saying, my marriage is never going to change. My children are never going to be the man and woman of God they're supposed to be. My boss is never going to like, we can get so focused on what we don't have when we have all of heaven just waiting to be poured into our lives. But it takes a different way to get that stuff. It takes grabbing a hold of it and letting it saturate our spirits. You can't spend 20 hours a week focusing on negative and focusing on what you don't have and how miserable your life is and how stuck you are, and then go read the Word of God for 3 minutes and then pout and say, God, you didn't show up how I wanted you to, right? And we do that all the time. We need to saturate ourselves with God's goodness and His presence and His Word and let that Word come alive in us so that all of a sudden we get that revelation and, I do have the love of Christ in my heart. And we start, as you process that, you start becoming differently day by day. You start looking more like Christ. And a week from now, someone's like, you used to be all freaked out all the time. You used to be all, you're just so more laid back now. And 2 months from that, they're like, you're not just laid back. You're like helping people. You know, 2 years from now, they're like, I want to be around you. I just want to be around you because when I get around you, my life looks different. Right? It's that eternal hope, heaven's optimism that we're carrying in us. God, thank you for your word, which is truth in our lives. God, help us to just absorb it and take it into our spirits and believe you, that what you said is truth. And let those truths transform our lives, God, those promises of God. We just thank you for this church, for this body. Bless them in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.